This morning, we're going to be talking about hidden with Christ in God. And it takes us to the New Testament book of Colossians. Colossians, we'll be looking at chapter 3. And I want us to notice verses 1 through 11. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 11. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Continue on, verse 6, because of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. In verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And obviously you see where the title for this morning's lesson comes from there, Colossians chapter 3, where it makes that very mention of being hidden with Christ in God. It just so happens that Thursday evening, myself and Bibi, we went to Cushing to the gospel meeting there, and Brother Tim Perkins was preaching, and his title of his lesson was Square Pegs in a Round Hole. And I thought that was a very interesting topic, to say the least, and how true that is when you think about Christians, that we are square pegs in a round hole. Because we just don't fit in to the world's standards, do we? We don't fit in. Because according to 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, we are different. We are called out of darkness into what? Marvelous light. Not anyone's, but His. The Father's marvelous light. That's what Paul was talking to those at Colossae about. And it's very interesting that we are told to come out from among them. You know, we remember in the days of old with Israel that they were to be set apart from that of the heathen nations. They were supposed to be peculiar. They were supposed to be special as God's chosen people. And so are we today as Christians. And that's what we're going to talk about, what it means. And I think that when we consider being in His marvelous light, when we're talking about being hidden with Christ in God, as we sing these songs, especially the one before the lesson here, about what we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I believe that's a wonderful thought that we should consider this morning, that those who are raised with Christ are said to have died and now have a life hidden with Christ in God. In the rest of Colossians chapter 3, the apostle goes on to tell us what that means in the life of the Christian. And you will consider that before we look at the life changes which must take place, Paul alludes to our entrance into Christ. So we got to start back with the basics. And how many do we find today have forgotten the basics and the fundamentals of Christians? He talks about a death. He talks about a resurrection being an allusion to the penitent believer's baptism. What that means, that only those who have been baptized into Christ can be raised to life with Him. Remember as Christians that what we are today, what makes us significant and different, and as Peter would point out in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, the word peculiar you'll even find there. Romans chapter 6, if you notice in verses 3 through 5 with me for a moment, Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 through 5. Paul said, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk, now notice this latter part of verse 4, in newness of life. Okay? It goes on. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Continue on to verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. See, that's what makes us different. That's what makes us peculiar. Because if I walk as the world walks, if I talk as the world talks, then what am I? I'm not a Christian. I'm worldly. I'm identified with them. That doesn't make me peculiar. That makes me conformed. But Romans 12 and verse 2 mentions different. Romans 12 and verse 2, and be not conformed. Be not conformed to this world. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. I mean, I have to be different. Until we are buried in the likeness of his death, we cannot be in the likeness of his resurrection. Is that what the scriptures teach us? That's what the Bible says there, isn't it? So the first thing I want us to consider is exactly what Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 says. Set your mind. Because that's where we're talking about the beginning points, right? That when we come to Christ, we need to have a change of perspective. Perspective. The things of this life should become less important for us, meaning that our eyes should be directed toward heaven where the Lord is. And there are several scriptures that take us to that. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 is one of them, where Paul said, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, having put on Christ, we were made citizens of heaven. Therefore, meaning that our conversation even is in heaven. Now, take also in our minds here that in setting our minds upon heavenly things, we need not go to the extreme of the Essenes who made vows of poverty. Matter of fact, Brother Perkins even made this very point the other day on Thursday evening in his lesson. We're not to go and check in at the monastery, are we? Do you see the apostles doing that? Where were they at? They were out among people. Jesus was even told. He was being accused, and rightfully so. Your master, the Pharisee said, are sitting and eating with what? Publicans and sinners. How dare he? You remember that? I mean, they were scorning because of that. Why is he sitting there with these type people? Jesus' influence was great. How am I, as we talked about this past Sunday morning, remember the lesson on influence, how am I supposed to influence someone if I don't communicate with them? We live in the world, but we don't live what? Of the world. There's a difference. And Jesus said, those who are not sick need not what? A physician. Physically, we understand that. Are we out in the world reaching out to people? It starts with setting our mind to such. Note also that righteousness is not mutually exclusive to enjoying the things of this life. With that said, we need to have well-set priorities. I want you to think about yourself and about what priorities you have. While I'm doing this lesson, I was thinking about my priorities. Things change over time, don't they? Just like graduating high school. What's my priorities then? You know, we had that plan in high school. We started in elementary, what our goals are going to be. I was going to be a garbage truck driver. That was my job choice. Wealth, Guess what? I did not become a garbage truck driver. However, they do make much more than I do as a police officer. Weird, right? So maybe I should have stuck with it. But anyways, we think about our priorities and what kind of things have changed over time in our lives. Each year brings something new to us. I know getting married had changed a lot of my priorities. 7 o'clock on the dot. You know what the guys said? They said, when you get married, first priority is going to be that house. You're going to be at home, aren't you? No, I'm not going to be at no house. Crazy. 7 o'clock. I'm punching that car. I got to go. Got to get the house. My priorities have changed. I didn't just live for that work and breathe for work. Things changed. And I'm sure it will change when the baby gets here too. But we must always, thinking about this, put spiritual things ahead of secular. It changes all the time in our lives because our vision, our focus will kind of fade a little bit. Doesn't it? As the years go by and the world starts working on us, we start corroding sometimes because we're not focused. We're not preparing ourselves. We're not maintaining ourselves like we do our vehicles. It's sad to say that we take better care of our vehicles in the world today than we do our own souls. I'll make sure that oil is changed. I'll make sure it has a checkup. I'll make sure that everything from A to Z, bumper to bumper. But when it comes down to something that will last forever, when I have to stand before God in judgment, did I maintain myself? Did I set my mind always on spiritual things? Was I minding spiritual things? Because that truck's not going with me. We belong to the Lord, not ourselves, and certainly not the world. Now notice there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, this is one that's familiar to us, and I like to use this verse because it brings into perspective again that question, or do you not know, Paul said in a rhetorical sense, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Well, that's a crazy thing. People say, well, that's crazy. But in verse 20, for you were bought with a price. We remembered that this morning. We remembered Christ, His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection. We were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are not mine. It has someone else there in that space, and it says God's. It belongs to God. So as we saw in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, we must focus our minds, having our lives directed by what will give honor to the Lord. It's either we're vessels of honor or we are vessels of, you know it, dishonor. That's what Paul is telling those in Corinth. The next thing we find is not only setting our minds and prioritizing and such on spiritual things, our affections on things above, but also mentions of putting something to death. In order to be what God wants us to be, we need to make some changes. Changes. The first thing you find is Paul reveals that we must put away or cast off, put to death our old man. You know, it wasn't only in Colossians chapter 3 that we find that, but we also saw that in Romans chapter 6. We cannot cling to the sinful attitudes and actions of the past and expect to walk with God. Now, 1 John 1 and verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of the Son cleanses all unrighteousness. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. If we walk, that conditional word if means a lot. If I am walking in the light as He is in the light. I can't have one foot in darkness and one in light, can I? I can't ride the fence. So either I'm walking with God or I'm not walking with God. There are many characteristics that are inconsistent with being a child of God and must be forsaken. The apostle gives a list. We notice those in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, as well as verses 8 and 9. But that's not a complete list that's given. It kind of reminds me of We have to get rid of the old stuff, the junk. To do what? Make room for the good, the new stuff. And as I have alluded to in the past, that when Kenzie and I got married and she started bringing all her, what I considered her junk in, I can talk like that now because she's not here. And you ladies can't tell. But anyways, she started throwing my stuff out. I'll never forget that fire I had out in the back. She's like, well, let's make a fire and let's burn some stuff. All right, let's burn some stuff. We're going to clean out this house. Finally, I have somebody help me clean this house out. Realizing it was my stuff we were cleaning out. I had to, don't dig through the boxes. Just burn them. Oh, no, I'm digging through them. I don't know what you're throwing away. It could be my prized possessions. No, that's just junk. I had stuff from when I was in kindergarten. Save stuff. But I had to get rid of old stuff to make room for what? New stuff that was coming along. Spiritually speaking, that's how it works, isn't it? Paul gave a list of the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, we'll just add this to our list from what we read from Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5 as well as verses 8 and 9. And notice that he had some other things on there. He said, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, he says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And when you start thinking about that latter part there of verse 21, will not inherit the kingdom of God, does that mean something to us? Do we, especially as Christians today, think, man, that's important to me, that I don't want to live like I used to live. I don't want to go back and do the same things. I don't want to start piling junk again. And I've actually gotten better about that at the house. When I start getting junk mail, I don't just stack it in a drawer and shut it. Because it'll start overflowing after a while and Ken's be going, what's up with this? Spiritually, am I taking some junk and putting it in my life? It is necessary that our senses be exercised to discern both good and evil. Discerning what is good and what is evil. That's what Hebrews 5 and verse 14 tells us. I hope that we can convince ourselves that always, that sin is always serious. It's not something to play with. Paul spoke of the result which sin has upon the world and the lives of men. And notice his words there in Colossians chapter 3, what we read earlier in verses 6 and 7. In Colossians 3, verses 6 and 7, he says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. He's talking about the Colossians. He says, you used to be that person. You used to live that way, but you're not anymore. That's thankfulness. That's gratitude. As Christians, are we glad that we are not doing those? Are we still those square pegs in a round hole? Do we mind being different? And not only is it unfitting that one who has been raised with Christ be involved in such things that's listed there in those scriptures, but know for surety that the end of them is eternal condemnation. We don't long for that at all. So, take into consideration, set your mind, how we do with that. How about putting to death? And now, last but not least, we make the new man. I believe that we would be in a difficult position if we were simply told to put these works of the flesh off, but not told what to put in place of them. You see, he didn't just leave it at, put this off. Put this off and put this on. He made that very clear. And I want you to remember that Jesus spoke of the man who was cleansed of an evil spirit but failed to put good in the place of the evil. The Spirit spoke, according to Matthew chapter 12, verses 44 and 45, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than when the first. What I would submit, that according to what we find in Matthew chapter 12 and those two verses there even, is that we don't become a swept home for wickedness to return to. Reminds me of the guy that prayed every service. He'd always say, "Lord, help us to rid ourselves of the cobwebs in our lives." Remember that story? And every service he would say that same prayer. Cobwebs of our lives. Let's get rid of them. Help us, Lord, to get rid of them. Until one service, another brother stood up and said, "No, Lord, kill the spider." Because if you kill the spider, what happens? The cobwebs go away. Think about it. What is the cause of the cobwebs? Sin. We got to get rid of it. We got to get rid of the source of it. Am I influencing someone, or is the world influencing me? Which one? Stopping our old ways is not enough. We need to, as Colossians 3 and verse 10 says, put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We're going to talk about that this evening, as a matter of fact, entitled A Vision of God, and what it means to have a vision of God. And we're going to talk about that, so be back this evening, Lord's willing, at 6 o'clock for a worship service. But if we try to put off the old without putting on the new, we will make ourselves a swept house for wickedness to return to. We don't want that, is what we're saying, right? We don't need it. The process is the same for any change we want to make in our lives. If we stop eating junk, but don't begin eating healthy food in its place, we will inevitably return to the junk food. I'll attest to that. I've done that several times. I'm guilty. The best was to kick a bad habit is to establish a good habit to take its place. As Christians, are we constantly doing that? We know that we're not perfect human beings upon this earth. We know that we have faults. What have we established? Good things, hopefully, over bad things. So the apostle doesn't just tell us what we need to put off, but he also tells us what we need to put on, what we need to fill our house or our hearts with. And that's what we find once again in Colossians chapter 3. Notice it, if you will, once again with me. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 12 through 14. 12 through 14. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." Notice there. "But above all these things, put on love, which is in the bond of perfection." There's a list of characteristics there. You even find that in Galatians chapter 5. When he talks about the works of the flesh, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit after that, doesn't he? In verse 22. That's the things that we should be holding on to. We should be adding to our faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brother, kindness, love. Because if these things be in you and abound, they make you neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, rather, in verses 5 through 9. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 9. How do we purge the old man and put on the new? That might be the question. The apostle tells us how. In verses 15 through 17 in Colossians chapter 3, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Just like the song before the lesson, do all in the name of the Lord. In word or deed, what am I reflecting of Christ? In conclusion, friends, let us write the Word of God on our hearts. According to that of the psalmist in Psalm 119 and verse 11, Your Word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against You. Truly, that is how we will purge the old man and put on the new. And that is exactly how we'll be hidden with Christ in God. The Scriptures have been provided. As you get your song books ready, the song of encouragement, think about the wonderful thought that we have talked about this evening, or this morning rather, the Apostle Paul presents. Have we been raised with Christ, having baptized, buried with Him, baptism, to rise and walk in newness of life? Have we put on Christ first and foremost? If we're not Christians, then we have not done that. And our life is not hidden with Christ in God. Maybe we need to set our minds, put to death, and put on the new. If we need to do that, then here's the time. As Christians, have we lost our focus? Maybe we need to set our minds. Maybe we need to put to death some things and fill it with good and the things of Christ. If we're subject in any way, the song of encouragement, won't you come as we stand and sing a song that's been selected?